Hi there, members, and welcome to this week's live session. Let's get stuck straight into it and see what we're covering today. Share my screen. Okay, so I'm getting my bits and pieces all sorted here. Going on to our Trello board, under next communication, our very first card there is live session number 30. We've done 30 of these. How exciting is that? And what we're covering today is the two main things is micromanagement. I thought it might be a good opportunity to discuss a little bit of a behavioural aspect that we may have a bit more time to reflect upon during these partial or foreclosures that your practice may be managing through. And a remote working schedule for those practices who do have people working from home remotely. The first thing I want to do is welcome our new members. And one of the things for new members to remember is that you do have access to the JPPS online courses. And I'll be talking more about and showing a screen about those courses. The only thing that you need to do is send me through which email you would like to have access for the online courses. So when you got your welcome email, you would have received a link to a very short survey or little short form. That form, one of the questions is, which email address would you like to have your JPPS online course student membership made up under? Many practices utilize their practice email so their whole team can gain access to those courses anytime. Others, they do have it just for themselves so they can pick and choose which courses the team actually move through. So do let me know if you haven't got access to the JPPS online courses yet. Do let me know. That's separate to the Club Hub, which I'll show you now. But do let me know which email address you would like that set up under. And you can let me know by my phone, 0407 657 729. You can send me an SMS, you can call me, or via email, julie@julieparkerpracticesuccess.com.au. The next thing I wanted to show you was the Club Hub. Just a reminder to everybody that you do have access to the Club Hub. I've had somebody say, and I have too, I've had little issues in logging into the Club Hub. So if you're one of those people as well, do drop me a line quickly. Send me through a quick email. I'd love to know about it. I do have my IT man onto it. So hopefully those little rough patches are going to be worked through very soon. So this is the Club Hub, and it is quite similar to the Trello board. The Trello board has a couple of additional advantages to it, but the Club Hub really houses all the information that your practice will need to move through training, education, guidance around the content that's held within it. So when you go, it's in the not the club itself, but the Club Hub members only. That's the page there. And then we scroll down. You always have the link to the next live session there. There's one kind of overarching online course that is just dedicated to COVID. But then underneath here, this is where all the live sessions are. And you can see they're all labeled there. And we've got the broad topics there as well. And once you click onto one of the topics, that's where it takes you through and to the online course section. And whether you're a member of the JPPS online courses or not, it doesn't matter. It's all kind of housed under the one in the one area with all of these online things. I think the online course is a very elegant way to move through each of the live sessions a little bit better than Trello. However, Trello, as I say, does have a couple of additional benefits, which I'll tell you about. And you are to scroll down, where we go, okay, enroll for free. So you just click on the enroll for free button. And that's where you should be able to. Straight in there. No, I've done it under my other one. I should be able to just sign in. I've already created an account. Here we go. So I'll just kind of clip it into there, into the resume the course button. And this is where you get the live recording.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this Sunday live session.
That was a Sunday one. That was a little while ago. And you've got the whole recording there. So it generally goes for about an hour, as you know. And then underneath are all the links, attachments, extra information that I promised throughout the and go through throughout the live session itself. So this one in particular, we had a few downloads there, COVID safe plan, broken appointment letter to patients, the club converting new callers into appointment times, new caller log with email addresses. We also had the link to the daily focus and Dental Health Week link there as well. And so you've got all the information sitting right there that you need. Of course, with the Club Hub, you've got also access to, going back. The doing sessions, we've gone through Excel, Google, Trello, Evernote, for example, Charles's sessions, his presentations, and any special guests that we've had on in the past. As you know, we've had Andy Lee from Health Practice Digital, and last time we had the guys from My Smile Sim. Further down are all the downloads that I mentioned throughout the live session. So you don't have to go trawling through trying to find which live session. You can just scroll through here and find the download that is relevant, and Bob's your uncle, it'll be right there. There we go. Click on it, make sure it's all happening beautifully. There we go. So that's a very good way of finding the information that you want quite quickly. Of course, in our completed list, that's where all of the recordings are as well. They're all numbered, and you can go to into each particular one and be reminded about what was covered in the live session itself. It has links to other Trello cards, which is one of the advantages it has. And of course, within Trello, you have got the ability to speak to me and follow certain cards and get some interaction going to make sure that we're covering all of the information that's pertinent to you right now. So I'll click back into today's Club Hub. And I've gone through the reminder tour of the Club Hub page, and we've welcomed our new members. It is lovely to have you on board, and just to make sure you do get those email details through to me. The daily focus for this coming week is going to be all around one of our main topics today, which is micromanagement. So let me stop sharing for the moment. Actually, I will continue sharing for the moment because I want to show you just a list of things that may help you understand if you are indeed a micromanager. And I will stop sharing for a moment because I want to just tell you a little bit of a story. This is fortunately a true story, because it was one of the most impactful learning lessons that I've had in my self-awareness and management journey. The reason why micromanagement is one of those things that I've got a little pet project on to try to help convert as many people away from that space as possible is because of my own experience with it. I absolutely have been a micromanager in the past, and I have indeed been micromanaged as well. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum. I've seen the satisfaction of being in control of everything, but I've also been on the receiving end of that and feeling the internal impact, negative impact that it had. So my story is that when I was working years ago, this is before I owned my practice. I owned my practice from 2003. So this would have been late 90s that this particular scenario rolled out. And I was working in a great practice. I loved working there, and we were getting busier and busier. And I was the receptionist. We needed to get another receptionist to join me on the front desk just to cope with the demand. And when we got Meg, and Meg's a dear friend of mine, and she knows that I talk about this interaction that we've had and our journey, and she's given me permission to use her name. But when Meg was employed, just delightful. We got along really well, great friendly gal. And all I had to do was just train her in the way we did things at our practice. She'd been a receptionist and patient facilitator and things like that in the past. And I started continuing to train her in our dental software, our systems, the way we do things. But I never kind of got out of that groove. I just continued to monitor what she was doing and correct what she was doing and try to modify her way into maybe not the practice's way, really, into my way. And an example of this was, you know how when you create an appointment time for a recall and in the description area you may put RC for recall? Well, that's what we did. We just put RC in the recall area, and I used to always capitalize the R and the C, capitalize it, and she would put lowercase RC. Well, of course, being the micromanager and control freak that I was, that wasn't good enough. And I really wanted her to just have this consistent way of doing things that was not just so much consistent, just my way of doing things. And so I even asked that of her, you know, how you put the lowercase RC? If we could all put the uppercase RC, I reckon that'd be just super. Everyone will know what they're reading then. And so she must have internally just kind of rolled her eyes and said, sure, whatever. I mean, you know, pick your battles sort of thing. Anyway, time rolled on. We continued to get along in a friendly way and enjoyed working with each other, but I never even picked up on frustrations that she may have been experiencing with my control freak ways and my micromanagement ways. And I was offered a position to do something quite a little bit different, doing a dental sales role in a dental supply company for dental laboratories. And I thought, oh, that's pretty groovy. My first husband was a dental technician, and I thought, oh, it'll help me, you know, roll out the little bit of extra knowledge that I have in that space. I'll start to learn a little bit more as well. I'll go down that path. I was there for about 6 months, and my employer was a perfectly lovely man. However, he was a micromanager, and I rarely got out on the road. He would rarely extend that level of trust in me to go out on the road. And his level of micromanagement was such that I would be writing an address for an express post parcel to a dental laboratory, and he would pick up that parcel and double check, is this to the right address? Have you double checked that address? And you've put our sender details on the back, that's all correct? So he wouldn't let me do anything. I would be on the phone to somebody, he'd be tapping me on the shoulder and writing notes beside me, say this, say that, what are they saying? So there wasn't any task I could roll out effectively without his input or guidance in some way. At the start, of course, I was learning and training, and so you understand that that level of scrutiny needs to be in place. However, over a period of 6 months, you're getting a bit tired of it, I have to say. And my first thing, the things that I started to notice, there were three things mainly that I'd noticed. One, my self-confidence was definitely down. I started to doubt every little thing that I was doing because somebody else was doubting it. And so why wouldn't I start to doubt it? Because someone in essence, in a more superior position, is telling me what you're doing, there's doubt around it. And so you start to doubt yourself as well. Did I put that address on properly? Can I be on the phone to somebody without someone guiding me step by step through the whole thing? The other thing that I found was my short-term memory was leaving me very rapidly. I couldn't believe how I would just forget the most simple things in such a short period of time. Also, and this is going back when there weren't any mobile phones, I had a car phone in my car, but there weren't any mobile phones that we had all the time. There were no Google Maps. And so you're still opening up for us in Melbourne, Melways, the street directory, to find your way around. And I was going to a place quite a number of suburbs away. And I looked in my Melways, and it would normally be a pretty simple thing. You go, I am starting from here and I'm going to here. What roads will take me there? Well, I couldn't figure it out. My problem solving skills were diminishing as rapidly as my self-confidence and as rapidly as my short-term memory. I didn't quite get that micromanagement was the thing at play there at the time. It was on reflection that I really truly started to understand how the micromanagement process does dumb people down. It tells them consistently, you're not enough. you're not thinking clearly enough, you're not doing the right enough things, you need to be questioned all the way through. And so you do question yourself all the way through. Anyway, wonderfully, my old boss would ring me every now and again and say, "You sure you don't want to come back?" And I always laugh it off. "Ha ha ha, no, but thanks anyway." 6 months down the track, I got another one of those phone calls and I said, "You know what? I would love to come back. I just wanted to go back into a space where I felt competent, where I felt people had faith and trust in what I did. Then rather than question what I did, that they applauded what I did and appreciated it and saw the value of it." And she said, "Great, fantastic, let's organize this." We got off the phone. 5 minutes later, she rings me back. "We've got a problem," she says. And I said, "Let me guess, Meg doesn't want me back." And she said, "That's right." And I said, "I have just experienced being managed by somebody like myself. I've been the Meg in this location and it hasn't been lovely at all. It's actually been quite a trial for me. Can you ask Meg if she's willing just to have a coffee with me?" Lovely Meg, beautiful human being. She said, "Yes." We met for coffee. I said to her, "This is what my last 6 months has been like. Is this what I did to you?" And she said, "Yes." The generosity of spirit that Meg had was enormous because she allowed me to come back into the dental practice where I felt so much happier and so much more competent, with the promise that I would revert, or I would get rid of my micromanagement ways and become a reborn manager and actually start being encouraging and supportive and guiding rather than controlling and scrutinizing every little thing. I'm going to share with you the symptoms of micromanagement so you can, it can help you identify whether you are a micromanager, because I think that's helpful. But then I will let you know my journey of recovery out of that space. And I don't think it's like alcoholism. I don't think you ever completely healed from your micromanager ways, but you can reform. So let me have a look, show you this particular slide. I'm just going to share my screen so you can see it, because that's going to be helpful, so you know what I'm talking about. Share. Micromanagement. Are you a micromanager? So the following steps are something for you to reflect upon. Do you immediately step in as the leader when a new process is needed? Do you believe that only you know how best to manage a task? Do you struggle with delegating tasks? Do you monitor others' performance too closely? Are some of your directions stating the obvious? Do you disregard the knowledge and experience of others? You know, recognizing for me where I was being a micromanager was in essence quite simple, because I had flipped into a role of being micromanaged and I could see it very clearly. Coming back in to the environment of the dental practice and working with Meg forced me to identify even more clearly when I was being a micromanager. And this is part of my recovery from it and Meg's recovery from me. So I think it was an important step to take when I said to Meg, I kind of handed a level of control over me over to her, where she, because I really wanted to get over it. So I wanted her to be able to say, "This is when you're micromanaging." And so what we did was we set up a process of every single time it was deemed by Meg, not by me, but by Meg, that I was micromanaging and becoming too control freakish, she was to say to me, reflecting back on when I'd ask her to capitalize the R and the C in recall, she'd ask me, "Do you want that in capitals or lowercase?" And that was the code. We had a nice, simple code. She didn't have to be confronting to me. She didn't have to say, "Ah, you're micromanaging again." So we predetermined a nice, funny little way of bringing it up in front of my face that I was indeed micromanaging in that moment. I then promised to her, I wanted to get better, so I needed for her to feel very safe in bringing up the, "Do you want that in uppercase?" So I made her a strong assurance that, "I promise you, Meg, every time you say, do you want that in uppercase? I will smile at you and I will thank you for the hint. And I will drop what I'm currently discussing with you in a micromanaging way. Now, this is something that we do within ourselves. Being a nice, big, strong adult that we are, we need to have control over our impulses. And you need to make the assurance to yourself, the promise to yourself, that when this, I've made this promise to somebody else, that's key to my learning, that's key to me getting better at what I do. So I promise myself that every time she does say, do you want that in uppercase, that I do, no matter how I feel, no matter how I want to rationalize it in my mind, I will absolutely smile authentically and thank her and stop in my tracks. Such an important element, because if I made her pay for it emotionally, if I rolled my eyes and said, okay, well, just this once, just let me do it. If I did anything like that and make her pay for it, she'd never do it. And then she'd become miserable working with me again. Then either my job's on the line or she'd be looking at for another job to go to. So it requires a vulnerability from you, for you as a human being, to move into that space of self-development and be on that journey with somebody else. And I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute. The other thing I wanted to mention to you was the impact for a team in terms of micromanagement. I'm just going to jump onto my PDF. I don't want that one. I want, where did I find it? I can't find it. So I'm going to mention it to you. The ramifications for a team when you are a micromanager. And so all the little things that you do to make things just so for you, when you're over controlling things, you're wanting your level of perfection. It may not be other people's level of perfection, but that you want your level of perfection. And so every time you're trying to put your stain, I know that Eckhart Tolle, anyone that is down at self-awareness journey will know who Eckhart Tolle is. I think it's pronounced Eckhart Tolle. But he talks about, you know, putting your stain on something. So putting your influence, whether it's welcome or not, onto something in an overt way, in a way that you're just wanting to control every little thing. The impact on your team overall is going to be, actually it is where I thought it was. Let me just reshare my screen again. It's just further down than what I had thought. I'm going to drag, I'm doing this other way of sharing my screen, but it takes a little bit of mucking around. So maybe it's not as effective as the old fashioned way. Okay, so this is an attachment to the card today and will be an attachment on the live session card within the Club Hub as well. It's an article I wrote a while ago for Australasian Dental Practice magazine, and it's entitled Micromanagers Anonymous, a group you don't want to join. And scrolling down here, it does go through those, are you a micromanager? So it helps you identify whether you are doing that or not. But then it moves through all of the negative impacts that it has on a dental team. So number one, there's high employee turnover. So you either get a dumbed down group of people that lose their confidence to be able to function anywhere else, and so they just stay with you. And so you've got this constantly dumbed down and even further dumbing down group of people that you will then become frustrated at their lack of performance, where you have actually been involved in the process of ensuring their performance does lack, if you understand that. So you've got a high employee turnover. So those people that have either been micromanaged in the past and they can see all the warning signs for it, or those people that they feel themselves, like myself, that, oh gosh, my confidence is lacking and this is not great and I'm feeling uncomfortable with work. And keep in mind, remember that one of our greatest fears as people that work together, work in a team, is the fear of being seen as incompetent. It's one of our greatest fears. And micromanaging is basically saying to somebody, I see you as incompetent. And so you're tapping into their greatest fear. You're getting somebody who's functioning more so from an insecure and defensive space rather than a space of empowerment and creativity, which is what you want. So there's high employee turnover. As micromanagement destroys the relationship between boss and employee, there seems to be little reason to stay. Resentment over minor events grows, and soon a previously good team member is looking for another job. Demotivated team. Team members who are constantly being questioned and criticized will stop putting in extra effort. Each team member just wants to be left alone to complete their own tasks and avoid scrutiny, so we'll avoid helping each other out. This is so relevant because this ties into that blame culture that some dental practices and some working practices, working environments do have as part of their working culture. That the minute someone does something wrong, there's finger pointing and blaming. And a lot of the time it is stemmed from this demotivated team because they're being over-scrutinized. Just leave me alone. I love it when the bad attention's on somebody else, because then at least it's not on me. And so they assist this process of finger pointing and blaming. Increased sick days taken. Team members who are pecked at constantly need more breaks. It's exhausting putting up with it all the time. Also, team members' stress levels will be increased, and therefore they will be more susceptible to catching colds, suffer headaches and fatigue. They just need a day off. Crikey. Another one is drop in production. Team members who don't quit may stay despite their unhappiness. The drop in energy, enthusiasm, optimism and actions have a direct impact on your overall production. And of course, the customer service levels that you're trying to maintain at your practice, that will be impacted as well. And slowed progress. Happy and motivated teams are continually introducing better ways of doing things. Customer service, efficiency and productivity are all areas that require creative and innovative thought. Micromanagement kills that level of team engagement and that you would normally see if the practice were to actually improve. So that's the number of negative impacts that come from micromanagement are substantial, and they're ones that any thinking manager would run from. And they'd say, that can't be. That cannot be what's developed inside this practice. That's a path to nowhere. So what do I need to do in order to improve? And as always, self-improvement, self-development requires self-awareness. Self-awareness requires us to get into that vulnerable space where we are looking at ourselves clearly in the mirror, and we are sometimes seeing things that we're not terribly happy with. However, when we recognize, and this is, as you know, I'm very big on this constant never-ending improvement journey being part of what we show up to at a dental practice and part of our team culture, that we are all on this journey, and therefore to be authentically on this journey, we are going to embrace all the things that it involves, one of which is making mistakes. So that's okay. We've been a micromanager in the past. That was a mistake. We're going to fix it. And during our process of fixing it, we're going to have to practice a new way. And there are going to be times that we fall back into old ways, and that'll be a mistake, but that's okay, because I'm going to get up, dust myself off, try again. Just because I didn't learn to walk in full strides when I was a little baby didn't mean I stopped trying, didn't mean that other people didn't stop supporting me in my walking ability. So everything is the same as we grow older. Just because we're an adult doesn't mean we magically know what to do in every situation, and doesn't mean just because we decide to be good at something that we're instantly good at it without any reflection, research and practice and mistakes. So the way I wanted to just to quickly show you the Johari window. Share my screen. Now, the Johari window, there's an article within that you can find on the Julie Parker Practice Success site. Just enter in any of the search areas, just put in Johari. Johari is a combination of the two names of the psychologist that came up with this window. This is where self-awareness comes from. If you are brave enough to move down this path. So what the Johari window is, it's a combination of four windows: open arena or area, I've always known it to be arena, open area, blind spot, facade, and unknown. What the open area is what a person knows about themselves, and it is also known by others in a group or team. So it could be they are very humorous. I'm a very humorous person and people see me as humorous. That person's the life of the party. They know it. Others know it. It's all good. And then we go into blind spot. So that's what a person does not know about themselves, but others do know. I'm a magnificent manager. No, she's not. She's a micromanager and it's driving me up the wall. I just wish she was more aware. The facade is what a person knows about themselves, but others do not know. We've all got those things, don't we? I fear rejection. I'm certainly not going to tell everybody else that I fear rejection. It's going to be a secret that I hold deep within. So there's the person that we put out to the world, and then there's the person that we know to ourselves to be, and that's the facade. Oh, sorry, that's what I know about myself that I don't share with others. And the unknown, what is unknown by the person about themselves and is unknown by others as well. So I don't know it about myself. Nobody else knows it about myself either. We don't tend to worry about that. There's no way of finding those bits and pieces out. So at the top here, we've got what I know about myself, and beside that, what I don't know about myself. And then down the side here, what others know about me and what others don't know about me. So of course, when you draw a correlation between the two, so what I don't know about myself and what others don't know about me is the unknown. What others don't know about me, but I do know about myself, is the facade. And what others know about me and what I know about myself is the open arena. And what I don't know about myself, but what others do know about me, that's my blind spot. And the blind spot is where all the growth happens, the potential for growth. It is a vulnerable thing to go to a coworker and say, I know I'm failing or not achieving a desired result that I want in a particular area. You can help me see this because I can't see it for myself. And so what I ended up doing with Meg was to say to her, I need you to identify for me when I'm doing the micromanaging because I can't see it myself. And she was great. When I extend that level of vulnerability to Meg, she could have gone two ways. If she really didn't like me, she could likely have thought, great opportunity to do some payback. This is awesome. So yeah, come on back and I'm just going to make your life a living hell and constantly point out all your faults. Wonderfully, that wasn't her personality style, and a more of a sadistic personality style would do that. However, majority of people, when one person reveals a vulnerability, they get empathy in return. And that's a beautiful philosophy to understand, or concept to always take with you when you're working with teams and you're working with people, that vulnerability is a powerful thing to bring to the table, because that is the opening up of effective communication under normal circumstances with considerate people. That I'm okay to be vulnerable, I'm safe here to be vulnerable, because it is more likely that they will respond with empathy with me. And that's what happened. And so we did roll out our process. We started working together regularly. She would say to me, do you want that in uppercase or lowercase? Regularly, I would smile and stop in my tracks and thank her for that hint, for her opening up my blind spot to me so I could improve. The first couple of times, I could feel inside that little bit of confrontation that someone's highlighting something negative within me. But I tell you what, it happened once or twice. After that, it was just no big deal. And this is what I find with a lot of things that we think are going to be really challenging with us, with our own selves, such as having confrontational or potentially confrontational discussions with staff members. No, you can't have those holidays, or, I'm sorry, your performance isn't improving, we need to let you go. Potentially confronting conversations. When you balls up and just get in there and do it thoughtfully, you put some research into it, but you do it thoughtfully, that level of anxiety that you feel around it diminishes very rapidly. And it's only after a few short times that you roll this new behavior out that you start becoming very comfortable with it. And I now, if there needs to be a confrontational or potentially confrontational, I don't like having confrontation, but potentially confrontational discussion with somebody, I'm very relaxed about it. One, because I've got my routine down. So I do part of that discussion is going to be making sure that person has a strong voice and tells me exactly what's going on in their reality. But I don't have that level of anxiety. I don't lose sleep the night before. I put in enough thought beforehand that I am going in there mindfully about what's going on. But this was the same with the Johari window with my blind spot with Meg, that the first couple of times I felt a little bit, but then it became really easy. And then it was just her going, it's happening here, it's happening here. And I got out of that habit of addressing every little thing she was doing to the degree that I was. And so it was a very happy scenario. And we ended up working together for many more years after that. We're good friends now. And I do look at her and thank her constantly at the role that she played in my self-development. So you can get better, but it does take you being vulnerable. It takes you being committed to the response so that other person will help you get better. And it just takes that constant mindfulness because it's such a default pattern. Because why are people a control freak? Why are micromanagers micromanaging? And the research indicates that it is coming from a place of fear. And one other reason, the place of fear is that, well, if I control everything, then any good result that comes from this, it will be more attributed to me. Or I can't hand over all that control to somebody else because what if their performance is so great it makes me look incompetent and look less than? What if, or I empower all these people to be top performers and then I'm not needed anymore? So there's a point of fear around that as well. Self-esteem issues for sure. Control is a self-esteem issue as well. But one of the, and I think this is more with me, probably a fear of incompetency, I think has been a driver for me. But I think, you know, when I read this, I thought, oh, that kind of resonates. Some people just like to have control. They like to have control over another human being. It's not a nice thing to want to have. For all the reasons that I've stated, no one and I do it because of this experience that I've had. One of my philosophies and values in life is a recognition that everybody has the right to move through their life as directed by themselves and nobody else. And indeed, I do not have any right to impose myself on another human being to the detriment of them. So it's helped me develop that as a very firm philosophy. But I think when I was doing it, and the times where I kind of fall back into that groove a little bit again before I bring myself back out of it, I think it is. I think it's just, I just love having the power. So having a desire for power, a desire for control, as Charles says in his presentations, there's benefits and drawbacks. And it's about recognizing in this particular space, the drawbacks to the other individual are so impactful and negative that it doesn't matter what the benefits are. It's not worth it. So I do encourage you to have a look at your control freak ways, your micromanagement ways, and this current coming week, the daily focus is around that. And I'll just quickly share with you what the daily focus is going to be. Oh, wrong screen over here, my bonbon here. Here is the email that you'll be receiving. Challenge the micromanager in you. Those of us who like things just so and feel the need to make others complete their tasks, we would need to set ourselves a challenge to control the control freak. Micromanagement is a damaging and ineffective method of management. It dumbs team members down and can suffer an erosion in self-confidence. I need to proofread this before I send it out. Recognize moments when this occurs. And when you do, I want you to shift your goal, shift your ultimate intention from I feel better with this level of control or but my way is better. Catch yourself in that belief moment and shift it to I feel great when I play a supportive role in my team's success or our long-term results are far greater when I don't take over. And it's that repetition of shifting the belief. Okay, this one's come up, but I'm replacing it with that. This one's come up, I'm replacing it with that. This one's come up, I'm replacing it with that. Be committed to that. And slowly but surely, you will start to shift your behavior. Pardon me, I'm going to cough. Okay. I breathe into you sharp sometimes. And it's not COVID, it's just the way I breathe. So let's have a look at where we are at. One other thing I will quickly show you in regards to that touches on the micromanagement space, and that is just a reminder. I'm not quite sure if I have actually gone through this before with everybody, but it's a lovely thing to always keep in mind when we're talking about how to keep team members happy and satisfied in their roles. It is important to look at their intrinsic drivers. Now, an extrinsic driver is more of the carrot on the stick things. If you give me, deliver a greater performance, I'll give you a financial incentive. If you do a good job with that project, I'll send you out to dinner with on a voucher. So that's more, or you know, even the more extrinsic motivators are, if you do a good job, I'll be really happy with you. Those sort of drivers, tapping into those sort of motivators, are very superficial and short-term. I've got very firm views around paying bonus systems within a dental team, which I'll move through at some point over coming live sessions, because I don't believe that they're effective at all. And I think they can actually divide a team and demotivate team members eventually. Tapping in though to their intrinsic motivators, the things that drive them as a human being, the thing that makes them get up in the morning and go, I can't wait to get to work, are threefold: purpose, mastery, and autonomy. This was detailed in a book by Daniel Pink called Drive, a great book. Number one, purpose, in service of something that is larger than ourselves, that we as a team, part of a team, moving towards this greater end. Purpose drives us as human beings, or even purpose as an individual. I am moving through my life because I want to be an extraordinary parent, or I want to be an extraordinary person within my space and really affect change, something greater than ourselves. Mastery, that we get better at skills that matter. We want to get better and better at what we do. It takes constant learning, constant practice, and the embracing of mistakes to get to mastery. And so this is where, again, that can I concept as part of your team culture really plays into mastery beautifully. And finally, autonomy. Direct our own actions. We all have an intrinsic drive to direct our own actions. And that's why micromanagement really does diminish anybody who is under that. Some things they say, oh yeah, I don't mind being micromanaged. You won't find anybody that likes being micromanaged. In fact, if you did find that person, I think that person would have been micromanaged for such a long time. Their self-confidence is so low. They feel they're so incapable that they need that direction in their life. We want to be the support and guidance behind people rather than the person that's actually moving their hand, moving their lips, doing every little thing for them. So maintaining people's autonomy is one of the three things that are crucial for you as a business manager in charge of a team to make sure that your team remain happy, productive, and loyal. We are now, this constant shifting of this grid, I'm going to look back on the recording and see how disruptive it is for you guys and your viewing pleasure. So we've gone through that. The next part is a remote working schedule. And so this remote working schedule is attached to this card right up top here, but I've got it opened up down here already. Now this remote working schedule, I'm just going to stop share. I'm going to reshare in the old fashioned way because I've got a feeling it may be frustrating for everybody when I'm constantly moving it around. So, oh, maybe I can't do it. Oh, screen. There we go. Okay. So this is for those practices that do have some or all of the team members working remotely from home. And it is difficult to really know what to get done and what tasks to delegate, because it ends up being a little bit of a hodgepodge. And then where's the accountability and who's signing on when and all the rest of it. So the more structure you put around this, the better. Normally people are all in that same building with you and you can bounce ideas off each other and you can see where everyone's at. But remotely, it's much more difficult. And we're not trained into remote work as dental team members either. So there's that complexity that comes into it as well. So this is a bit of a structure that you can put in place for your team, get your team's input in as part of this, but this is what I have put together for you. Hopefully you'll find it helpful. Just make sure there's no questions. No, we're all going well. So the remote working schedule, the goal. This is something that all your team members can read. You can actually, once you've edited it, actually, I've got to make sure I send you through the Word document version so you can edit it nice and easily. It is our goal to use our downtime at the surgery and our remote working time to work on a series of projects that will identify areas for improvement and tasks that can be completed that will strengthen our practice. Your collaboration and ideas are encouraged as we can achieve more as a team than as individuals. We are assessing our existing systems with fresh eyes and want everyone's input to modify these systems to be more powerful and create new systems for the future. We are fortunate that technology enables us to be in regular contact and provides the opportunity to be productive and play an important role in the success of our practice despite the restrictions. The online and virtual space is new to many of us. Your feedback on improvements that can be made during our remote work schedule is appreciated. So that's an attempt to get everybody on board with the same goal in mind. The other thing that we need to make sure that we have is great clarity with our expectations of people. For example, you're going to do some work from home. You've got to specify what kind of work, how many hours, what days you expect that work to be done on. Every expectation that's up in your brain, put it on the table. Put it on the table as well in such a way that people feel welcome to give input. I'm not quite sure if those hours would suit because I'm also homeschooling my children as well. It certainly is a balancing act. Let's move through, because it is crucial to their happiness in doing remote work that they play a role in the creation of how it's played out and that you can see those barriers for them so you can modify the system in a way that's going to work generally for most people. I think it's going to be difficult to get something that works perfectly for everybody because everyone's in a slightly different situation. You may have a team that are made up of parents and non-parents, of some people who have other people remote working from home as well, and there's only a tiny apartment and they haven't got space to not overhear each other's conversations. And so there might be a whole series of challenges in that space. And so being open to all of those with a mindset of there's going to be challenges, like bring them all on. Let's just have a look at them and see what we can come up with as a great solution moving forward. Okay, so as an example, I've put down 3 days of shorter than the normal day. With the JobKeeper, if your staff members are home on JobKeeper, as a great average, this is just average generalization, you'll be seeking to have them work around 25 hours for that JobKeeper amount. And that is a beautiful amount of time to get some effective change happening and some effective work done, as well as not requiring them to sit in front of that computer endlessly, because we want to avoid that as well. That has its own fatigue and problems. And so each of these days, you'll see that they just rolled out the same way. I think a consistency in the days that you require them to work remotely and the hours within those days and the structure of the day, if there's consistency around that, that's beautiful. That helps replicate what happens at work. When a dental nurse arrives, gets changed, puts the sign out, sets the surgery up, sets the steri room up, same time every day. We know the days of the week that she comes in, it's all set. And whatever we can do to help bring that kind of structure to their remote working days is going to just be helpful. So the first thing I always suggest is on these remote working days, do have a remote huddle. Get together. And I've just, if when you see the remote huddle there, you'll scroll down and see what's included in the remote huddle here. So the remote huddle is log in via Zoom and welcome everybody. And then we're going to reflect on previous project remote day. We're going to answer any queries that have been prompted from last time. Check team member progress on tasks that were to be completed. Maybe one of the things was to make sure that there was a system uploaded into your practice manual about how the phone call from a new caller gets answered. So who was going to write that up and is it actually loaded up there? How did you go with that? Do you need any assistance or support? Update Trello on the progress. I do think that a Trello board for your team, a remote working Trello board will be enormously helpful because that's where people can put in, oh, I've done this now, I've loaded my thing and I've cross-checked all these things that I was supposed to cross-check, done. I've typed up the minutes for the last staff meeting, I've loaded them up here, have a look. So you can actually allow your team members to continue to collaborate with each other even when they're offline. And you can gauge how people are going on their journey. So if a team member says, tried to upload meeting minutes to Evernote, but couldn't, could someone help me out? Then everyone gets that alert and someone jumps on and goes, try it this way. So I think the Trello board is going to be magnificent because one, it's going to have established all of your goals during this period of time. You can put down all of your projects that you're wanting to get done over this period of time. Delegation of roles, delegation of tasks, and you can house all the recordings of your Zoom sessions as well. And I encourage you to record all these things for those team members that may not be able to attend one of the sessions live. For those team members that may need to also homeschool so they can only attend half of the virtual day themselves. So record everything so when they're next sitting in front of their computer ready to do some work, they're looking at the recording, getting up to speed with the rest of the team. Identify and present today's project. So for example, today we're going to learn a little bit more about how to create a better recall strategy. And we're going to talk about what we do right now. And then we're going to watch the recording of the online course. And then we're going to regroup again at the brainstorming this afternoon. And so let me just scroll back up here. So the day would roll out for a remote worker is coming online, remote huddle, 10 o'clock. We're going to update Trello for anything that's been done already from last time that hasn't been updated yet. So everyone knows they're reminded about their delegated tasks. They can put in completion notes of their delegated tasks. So we've updated all that. Then we're going to view the online course. We've decided today it's going to be recalls. And so now everyone jump off Zoom and now open up the JPPS online course. You've all got the login details because they're all housed in Trello. and then watch that and then we'll regroup after lunch. Or, and I've put down here as well, view the online course. This can be done individually all together. I love the thought of doing it all together. If doing it all together, have someone share the screen and be ready to pause for discussion. Viewing the online course in this way can take up to 2 hours to complete a 1 hour session, but it is worth it. Always appoint a scribe for collaboration sessions so nothing is forgotten. So that means that while things occur to people and it's fresh in their mind, they're discussed immediately. And you can get a really lovely energy going when you are participating in these sort of online courses together. Doing that scribe is a great thing, but do record these sessions too, just so you don't lose any important information. It's a lovely way to train your team to collaborate nicely and share information around and listen to others as well. So it can promote some strong teamwork, even though you are working remotely. So once you have conducted the online course, whether it be individually or as a group, then let's go offline and we're all going to have some lunch. It can be an hour, half an hour, whatever. And then we're going to come back online. And this is kind of for a longer session. This is for a 2 hour session for brainstorming. And then if you scroll down to remote brainstorming session, I describe what happens in those. Agree on a small number of online meeting rules, first of all, because during a brainstorming session, people are wanting to jump in and discuss and all the rest of it. So For a start, let's make sure everyone remains present with their video on during the session. It's a bit disconcerting when all of a sudden these videos are off and people don't know if people are still present or not. So everyone's there present with the video going. Raise your hand instead of interrupting each other. So if you want the recording to stop or you're hearing somebody else speak and you've got a great idea, get in the habit of putting your hand up so they can finish their thought, and then you're going to have the next point, which is appoint a host to ensure everyone gets to share their input. And so they're keeping track. That person had their hand up next. Okay, it's over to you now. Great point. Over to you, Sally. Then also include short breaks as needed. When you've got anything over 1 hour, I do encourage short breaks to go to the toilet, refill your glass of water, have a walk around, get some fresh air. Certainly appoint a scribe, as the scribe ideally would have Trello open with a card entitled Our Recall System. And as each person puts in something, a great idea, gets entered in, directives, checkpoint, you know, a checklist, we're going to do this, and this. And she's just typing in Trello. Don't worry about spelling mistakes. You can always check off spelling mistakes later. But that way, you're not writing things down and then having to upload everything as an additional task. You can if you want to, but I think that could be a nice way of doing things. Describe what the practice currently has as a system around this project. There are some systems, such as the recall strategy, where the dental assistants don't know what happens currently. So how can they have input as to how to improve the system if they don't know what the system is? And so whoever's in charge of that particular system, say, this is what we do at the moment. Remind ourselves what the ultimate goal. I mean, the ultimate goal is usually a delightful patient experience. And so what way could we recall our patients in a way that delights our patients? Then the team share ideas to improve the current systems. When possible, role play the scenarios to work through barriers to successful implementation. When possible, role play scenarios to work through barriers. Easily done, in essence. We could, with the new caller conversion into appointment times topic, that can be role played virtually, no dramas whatsoever. And there's a number of things that can be, even customer service, scripts that we're going to say to customers and patients, how we're going to manage when we're running late. Or if I said it this way, I'm so sorry that we're running late. Is there anything that I can do to help your stay here in this waiting room or by yourself more pleasurable? So you can role play certain things. So role play wherever possible. Role play is powerful because it identifies barriers of implementation. Oh, that doesn't sound quite right. I'm going to have to adjust the way I do that. Well, how does this sound instead? It also makes sure that your brain has an experience in your mind of having done this thing before. So when you are next called upon in the moment to quickly roll this strategy out that we've all agreed upon, you'll be like, I can do it because I've done it before, rather than, oh, this is my first time. Oh, I've lost my chance because there was a doubt, there was a gap, there was a pause. Delegate drafting the system and uploading to the practice manual. So whatever new system you put in place, make sure you delegate the task to the relevant person. Can you draft that up? You can either draft it up in Word, you can speak it out, or you can videotape yourself talking about it, and that's what gets uploaded into our digital practice manual. Hopefully you are all converting to a digital practice manual. It is watching video is so much more impactful and is a greater way of learning rather than just reading the written word for most people. And then the last thing in that brainstorming session is to decide on the next topic. So once you've gone through and done the brainstorming session, there will be a series of things that you need to do offline, such as draft up the new system and upload it to the dental practice manual, such as, oh, we've talked about a script that we're going to roll out for new callers when we're trying to convert them into appointment times. Someone who's going to write up that script and make sure it's laminated all ready for when we get back to work. If the laminator is at work, where are we going to put those sort of documents in a folder somewhere on Trello? Is there going to be a Trello card that has documents to print off and laminate once we get back to work? Who's going to do that? Who's going to make sure it goes into that little card? So there's going to be a bunch of work that can be done offline. So everyone's not online together for too long. So at the moment we've been online here for a couple of hours, and then in the afternoon for a couple of hours, So then the last couple of hours is just them working at their own pace, doing whatever research that they needed to do for that particular topic or work that they needed to do for that particular topic. They're updating their Trello so people know where things are at. And then 5 o'clock, that's the close of day. And there's no more communications with the team after that because they need that time, that downtime as well. What I've also added here, I'm just conscious that we're right on the hour here, is the project ideas. So the project ideas, and sorry, just here, the Zoom link, always make sure that everyone has easy access to the Zoom link and to the digital practice manual link, if it's Evernote, for example, your YouTube channel link. And this is where, again, Trello is fantastic. You load it once up onto Trello. You don't have to worry about emailing people, WhatsApping people, telephoning them. This is where you go. They just know, I go to Trello and I know exactly where to go for all of these links. And with the Zoom link, because we're going to be online with Zoom for longer than, I think it's 40 minutes, that with the free version of Zoom that you are allowed before the meeting closes, you can just go to 40 minutes and reopen another meeting if you wanted to. But the cost of the first paid level membership, which allows you to have endless time on your Zoom meeting, is only $150 for a whole year. So it's not an enormous expense. So I think it's worthwhile getting that just to remove that as a bit of a barrier for easy running of your virtual workdays. What do you call it? Remote workdays. So here's a whole bunch of project ideas. Designing your team culture, design a new staff member onboarding process, reassess your recall strategy. Remember, you may think it's a fantastic strategy and proven and wonderful. Let's relook, take the chance to relook at it with fresh eyes, get fresh ideas from your team members. It'll be worth your while, I guarantee you. Incomplete trim and follow-up system, how are we going to do that? New caller conversion into appointments, reducing broken appointments, reactivating your inactive patients, customer service revamp. What's a whole bunch of wonderful ideas we can research online and bring to the table. Scheduling for low stress and high productivity, tracking key performance indicators. And so wonderfully, these just happen to be all of the online courses within JPPS. And you've got access to all of them. And so Superstar Receptionist, building a successful recall strategy, reactivating your inactive patient base, all of those titles are there, ready and waiting for your team to view and then have their creative juices flow and you come up with magnificent ways of doing it in your own practice. The other couple of things I've added to the bottom is marketing and promotion ideas. There's a card within Trello just on marketing and promotion ideas. A few of them would be highly relevant to any practice out there. And it takes a little bit to get the system up and running and to make sure you've got all the bits and pieces that you need. So jump onto the marketing and I'll quickly just go over there so you can see. And marketing ideas, which is under the doing column, marketing ideas. And there's a whole series of ideas there that you can run with. How about social media posts? Like have the project that each person comes up with one or two social media posts and they go away and design them on Canva with the, after watching the doing session on how to use Canva for your social media posts, create a little bit of a library. So when you do get back on track, you've got this little library set there where you can start rolling out post after post. And remember, when you roll out a social media post, if you rolled out the same one in January last year and you rolled it out again January this year, people aren't going to notice. So you can have a set schedule, a whole year set schedule of posts, and then you just redo them the four that you do in January is the same four you did January last year. Update where it's needed, make sure your links are all correct, but don't feel like you have to create brand new unique stuff with every single post. Updating your practice manual or develop a digital version. There's the doing session for Evernote that will guide you through that process. Create your practice YouTube channel. This is going to be a doing session coming up. Dial in via TeamViewer to update the database or create and review templates and the letters that you've got, the instructions for post-operative care, all those sort of things. Let's relook at all these things that are in the database. Dial in through TeamViewer, Share the screen. Is everyone happy with this wording? Do we need to update any of this? Appoint a team member or rotate the role of phone diversion and team viewer access for them to actually access the dental software. So when patients actually ring with a concern, you can say, well, we're not functioning at the moment, but I can still advise you. I can still guide you. I can still provide you some peace of mind. And you've got access to all of their clinical details and x-rays and everything. So you can go in there and you can properly advise them over the phone, even though you're not there on site. So there's a whole series of projects, all of those projects. You would never get through those projects because hopefully we'll be back at work very soon. Well, I hope it has been helpful for you today. I'm going to quickly go back into my Trello as we like to do today. We've ticked off the last thing, remote working schedule. Ooh, there we go. And no longer top priority because we've done it. Tick that off there. Drag that over to the completed column at the very top. Live session number 30. It'll be uploaded to the Club Hub very soon. And the register here section will be switched to recording link within the next half hour, I'm sure. So in the meantime, I hope you all have a lovely evening and afternoon. I hope you're functioning well during these times. If you are struggling in any area or you'd like me to concentrate on a particular topic coming up, please let me know. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing you next week. See you later.